We begin the current Daf Beis, and begin the new Mesech, the Mesech Tis Erichin, starting with the first Perek HaKol Marichin, which this Perek and the primary of this Mesech to discuss the laws of Erichin, which continues the theme of this Seder, of Seder Kachim, regarding those things that apply to Hektish, which Marichin is a way of evaluating a person in the monetary value, how much one has to give as a donation to Hektish. So our Mishnah begins this topic, defining the categorical inclusion of who's included in this halacha of erichin, which the Torah goes through and defines based on gender and age, how much a person has to give when he says the erich of that person to Hektish. So the Mishnah begins, Hakol Marichin. Everyone is included in the obligation of giving the erich, which, as we said, the Torah specifies the exact evaluation of the person. If someone says on someone else that that person's erich value is incumbent upon me to give to Hektish, he has to give the value of that person according to his years as dictated in the Torah, where the Torah specifies in the parasha of Erichin, we go based on the ages of that person, how much one has to give to Hektish. And also, v'nerachim. Everyone is included in the halacha being the subject of an erich vow. So if, let's say, someone says, my erich is incumbent upon me to give to Hektish, or if someone else says on him, I want to give his value of erichin to the Hektish, so that obligation would apply. And so to everyone is Neidrin. Everyone, if he takes a vow that he's going to give the monetary value of a certain person, is incumbent upon him, so we evaluate that person, which is different, the laws of a neder, than that of erichin. Erichin is a set amount in the Torah based on gender and age, whereas the laws of neder is that we evaluate the person like a slave sold in the marketplace, how much is his current value worth. Everyone is included in that obligation of neder, if he takes that neder. And the nidar, everyone could be the subject if, let's say, he says, my dumb and my monetary value is on me, or if someone else says regarding him, I want to give his monetary value to Hektish, the halacha would apply to all types of people. And that includes kehanim, levim, yisraelim, the three types of status of Jewish people, nashim v'avadim, for women and slaves, which their obligation of payment would only apply at a later point in time. The woman when she gets divorced, and the slave when he gets freed, because up until then, their money is in the purview of the man. Now, however, continues the Mishnah, tumtum vadregnis. Tumtum is where the gender is concealed. It's not clear if he has a male or female genitalia, and the andregnis has actually both signs of male and female. There the halach is neidrin. They both can take and be obligated in the halachas of neder of a monetary value of a person. V'nidarin, they also could be the subject of a neder vow because they have monetary value. If they were sold in a slave, they have utility. Umarichin, they also could take an erich vow on other people. If, let's say, they say, when the Tumtum Vadregna says, I want the erich value of that person on me, they would have to give the erich value of that person. Avoloi nerachin. However, one of the four categories does not apply to them. If, let's say, the Tumtum Vadregna says on himself, I want to take the erich value on me, or someone else says regarding him, that I want to give that erich value of the Tumtum Vadregna on myself, he hasn't said anything because they don't have an erich value. She'einin erich ila hazarcha vadeh v'nekev v'adoyis, because halach of erichin only apply to someone that's definitively a male or a female, as the Torah says, zachar nekeva, and since they're not definitively male or female, they don't have the halacha being the subject of an erich vow. Now the Mishnah says, cheresh, a deaf mute, shaita, a mentally deranged person, a katan, and a minor, nidarim v'nerachim, they could be the subject of a neder or of an erich vow, which if someone says on them, they have erichin, as the Torah says, and they also have utility of monetary value. Avaloi neidrim v'loi merichim, they themselves cannot take the neder vow or the erich vow, m'nei she'im b'mdas, because these three types of people don't have intelligence, and therefore they cannot be in the category of taking a neder or an erich vow. Now the Mishnah goes through now, and says, the Mishnah opened up Hakol Marichin. Everyone is included in the obligation of taking an erich vow. Says the Gemara, Lasu Yimei, what's the Hakol coming to include that wouldn't be obvious? Says the Gemara, it's Lasu Yimei Mufla. It's coming to include a Mufla who's Samach Le'ish, who's close to the category of being considered an adult, which is when a boy is 12 years old, and one day where he's close to the category of a man, because an Ish is only considered when he turns 13 and he brings two pubic hairs. The reason why he's called a mufla is because we inspect him when he's a year before his bar mitzvah to see, does he know how to be mafli, to be specific and designate for whom are you taking the nether, and for whom are you being makdashed? Meaning to know that he's being makdashed to Hashem, to the Beis HaMikdash, as the Gemara says in Nidadaf Memheim Beis, therefore it's called a mufla, that he can be mafli, which is the terminology that the Pasuk says regarding yafli nether, the halacha of nether, which Erechin is included in that category. You have to be able to specify a year before he's considered a mufla. And he's included in the halacha of taking an Erech vow. Now, says the Gemara, Nerach Amasu Yimai. In other words, when the Mishnah opens up with the word Hakol, that Hakol, everyone, is going on, not just the word Marichin, it's going on the whole Mishnah, including Nerachin, that everyone could be the subject of an Erech vow. So that's what the Gemara is asking now. What are we including when we're saying that everyone could be included in the to be the Nerach, and to be the subject that we would not have necessarily known? So as the Gemara, it's Lasuya Menuvel Umukeshchin. It's coming to include someone that's repulsive and is smitten with boils. You would have thought to say, the Pasuk says of a Yikra, and it talks about the halach of Erechin, it says if a person's going to, like we said, be Yafli, he's going to specify a neder be'erkecha ksiv. It says a vow of Erechin, of nefashis, of people, Tashem. Now the Pasuk is equating the halacha of Erechin to the halacha of nedarim, which is that of monetary value. Now a menuvel mokeshchin don't have a monetary value. Now they can make a neder on others, but they cannot be the subject of a neder because they're not worth anything. No one wants them. That no one would take them as a slave. So therefore, I would say kol sheyesh b'damim, whoever is the subject of a monetary vow, so yeshna be'erchin could be the subject of an erchin vow. But v'chol she'ein b'damim ein be'erchin. But the menul mukeshchin who don't have monetary value. So therefore, I would say they're not included neder. Therefore, they would not be included be'erkecha in being the subject of an erechim vow. Kamash malon. That's what Mishnah teaching is. No hakol nerach and even menuvel mukeshchin. Why? Because the pasuk continues nefashes, which sounds like whatever is a soul is called whatever the person is included in the halach of erechim, and therefore even menuvel mukeshchin could be the subject of an erechim vow when we go based on their gender and on their age. Now, when the Mishnah continues, it says noidrin lasu yimai. This that we're saying everyone can take a neder vow. What's that coming to include? Says the Gemara, you're right, that's not really including anything. It's nidarin yitzuchalei. It's the second half of that, like we're saying, marichin erachin. So noidrin is necessary to say because we wanted to say hakol nidarin, that everyone could be the subject of a neder vow. So says the Gemara, so nidarin lasu yimai. What's this, that everyone could be the subject of a neder vow, which is the monetary value of a person that someone else is taking responsibility. What's that coming to include? So you tumtum andragonus, if you think it would come to include a tumtum and andragonus, because you would say maybe they're not included, because we see that they're not the erich, the subject of an erich vow, maybe you'd say they're not the subject of a neder vow, but says the Gemara, that cannot be included in hakol nidarin, because behadu katanilu. The Mishnah explicitly says, and all these other cases that we're going to be talking about are all in these Mishnayas, it already says that tumtum andragonus in our Mishnah are nidarin, that they could be the subject of a neder vow. Vila suya chershed v'katan. And if it's coming to tell us that to include a chershed v'katan, we're again here also, they're not totally in these halachas of neder because they cannot be nidrin, so maybe we could say they're not nidarin. But again, that's not what hakol nidarin is coming to include because behed yikatan, the Mishnah explicitly already says the halacha that chershed v'katan could be the subject of a neder vow. Ila suya pachis me ben chadish, if you think they would come to include that if he's less than a month old, where there too, he's not the subject of an erech vow, because erechin only starts when it's a month and above, so maybe you would say that he's not the subject of the neder vow either, but behed katani lo, mission later on explicitly, but he says the case that he is the subject of a neder vow. And ve'ila suyev kechavman, if you would think to come to include a non-Jew who's also not totally in these halachas, behed katani lo, again, the mission explicitly says that he could be the subject of a neder vow, so therefore, what are we coming to include when we're saying, hakol nidarin? Says the Gemara, this really is coming to include when we say hakol nidarin that everyone is the subject of a neder vow, even if the child is less than a month old. But although there's explicit Mishnah that says that case, our Mishnah says it, and then subsequently it explicitly specifies it. Now, as Rashi points out, that truthfully, then we could have said it's any one of these other cases that we said the Mishnah explicitly talks about. It just picks one of those cases, but really, talking about all of them, you're right, hakol nerachin, hakol nidarin, that everyone could be the subject of a neder vow, is including those, and then we go and we specify what are these that, although we would have thought maybe they're not, that they are the subject of a neder vow. Actually, another interpretation Rashi says, no, the Gemara specifically picked the case of Pachas Mem Tchaydish. The reason for that is because later on, Daf Hem and Aleph, the Gemara brings a machlekes Remei and Rabbanan regarding if someone takes an erech vow of a child less than a month old. Rav Meir says the person has to give the monetary value of that, let's say, 15-day-old child. Why? Because he says a person knows that there's no erichin for a child less than a month old. It's explicit pasuk in the Torah that only starts from a month old. Therefore, he conclusively really meant to say damim, and he just by mistake said erichin. Whereas the sages say that no, he hasn't said anything. It's erich less than a month old. There's no erich, and therefore he doesn't have to give anything. That's why the Tana of our Mishnah is coming to include from the unnecessary words of Hakol Nidaron. What are we coming to include? We're coming to say that even the Kohen Rabbanon, when you say of the erichin of a child less than a month old, you don't give anything. But when you said you want to give the damim of a child less than a month old, Nidaron, then Hakol Nidaron, then there is going to be a monetary value. You don't have to give the money of even a child that's less than a month old, even though when you do erichin, you don't have to give anything. Now the Gemara continues similarly regarding other Tanoic texts, where we also say the word Hakol. So now the Gemara continues on the theme and asks in all those other places, what does Hakol come to include? Hakol Samchin. This says in Mishnah Masechtas Menachos that everyone does smicha, everyone leads on the animal when they're coming to bring it. Lasuyimah, what's that coming to include? Says the Gemara, Lasuyi Yarish, it's coming to include an inheritor, meaning a person that his father had separated a carbon to bring, but he didn't get a chance to bring his carbon until he died. The halach is that the inheritor, the son, he goes and he does smicha on his father's carbon. Or do like Rabbi Yehuda, and not like Rabbi Yehuda, as we're going to shortly quote his opinion. Similarly, when it says Hakol Mamirin, in the Mishnah Masechtas Tumura, that says that everyone could do Tumura on the carbon when it'll have a sanctity when he's trying to swap it onto another animal, Lasuyi Mei, what's that coming to include? Lasuyi Yarish, again, it's coming to include that if an inheritor does it, the halacha of Tumura will apply. And again, the Lekha Behuda, because it's time you learn the Braisa that on these two points is a Machlekes, which are those Mishnais that we're quoting are like the Tanna Kam. Yerish Saimach, inheritor does Smicha on the animal. Yerish Meimer, the Yerish, if he does Tumura, it'll take effect. Whereas the Behuda, he says, no, Yerish ain't a Saimach, the inheritor does not do Smicha on the animal, and Yerish ain't a Meimer, if he does Tumura, will not take effect. As the Gemara says, my time to Behuda. What's the reason of Behuda? Because the Pasuk says, the Meyikram, Karbane. By the Smicha of a carbon, it says three times, the Halacha, by the carbon Shlam, Meyikra, Karbanai, his animal. Now, Rabbi Yehuda is expounding one of those times it says karbanai, it says his carbon, is v'loi carbon aviv. The halach is telling you that smicha is done on the person's own carbon, but not when it's his father's carbon. Now, that tells us why he holds yerish in a semech. Now, where do you know the halacha that a yerish is in a meimer? Where the yol of tchilas hektish, he learns out the initial sanctity of an animal, which is what tumura is, which is the beginning of the sanctity of this other animal that he's trying to swap the sanctity to, mishaif hektish, from the halachas of the end of the sanctity of a carbon, which is smicha, which is right at the end of the kedusha of the animal, which is right before you slaughter it, and then it's be able to use, it's not hektish anymore. What do we learn? Mashaif hektish yerish in the semach, just like the end of the sanctity, as we just brought up in the pasuk, Rebbe says, you see, the inheritor doesn't do smicha. Sav tchilas hektish yerish in the meimer. So to the beginning of the hektish, the inheritor doesn't have that halacha, which is he doesn't have the halacha of making it tumur. Now, Rabbanan, however, who disagree with him, they learn that from the pasuk of Yikra, which is hamer yamer, which is this halacha about doing tumura. Now, why does it say two times the word hamer yamer, swapping he will swap? L'rabbis, the Yerush, coming to include the inheritor that he has the halach of Temurah. That's learned that from the Ribui. And they learned this teaching in the reverse. Ve'yafinah seif hektish mitchilas hektish. And they learn out the end of the sanctity from the beginning of the sanctity, which is matchilas hektish Yerush Meimah, just like we brought up from this pasuk, that in the beginning of the sanctity, the inheritor does Temurah. Av seif hektish Yerush Meimah. So to the end of the sanctity, which is smicha, right before it ends, right before you slaughter it, the Yerush also does smicha. But then the Gemara asks, okay, v'rabbanon, hai karbonim mai abdilei. Rabbi Yehuda was learning from Karbanai, which says that, but not Karbanov, that you don't do smicha on the father's carbon. But the Rabban who disagreed and said the Yerush does smicha, so what do they learn out from his carbon? So Miboyle, they need it, like we said, it says three times the word Karbanai. And they use it for different things and not to learn out Vole Karbanov. First of all, Karbanai tells him that you do smicha on his carbon, Vole Karbanov, it doesn't do the smicha on the carbon of a non-Jew. Karbanai, it says his carbon, Vole Karbanov, Chaveri, doesn't do smicha on his fellow's carbon. And Karbanu, it says his carbon is L'rabbis Kalbalei Chayvim L'smicha, comes to include when five people bring one carbon in partnership, that every one of the partners has to do smicha on it, and it's not enough if one of the partners does smicha on it. Whereas the Sheet Megubetzes brings from an old print of Rashi that obviously, although all these, we're saying Karbanu is exclusionary terminology, is his carbon, and so, but here it's actually coming to include, like all the partners have to do smicha. So he says, because if it would be coming to exclude, then the pasuk shouldn't have said anything. I would have known that the partners don't do smicha, just like all the partners can't do tumura. Why does it say the extra word karbanai? So you include that all the partners are considered, it's his carbon because everyone is a partner and he has to go ahead and do smicha on the animal. But again, you don't have an extra karbanai to exclude carbon of, not Rabbi Huda, but he what does he do? He can't learn out all these things from the three because he already uses one for v'lo karban aviv. So says the Gemara, L'rab is called balei chayvim l'smicha lesley. He doesn't hold to this idea, which is one of the three that all the partners have to do smicha, because he holds actually no, one of the partners does smicha, and it's not like doing smicha on his friend's carbon, because here he is a partner, he has a share in this, and therefore he's the owner, and therefore he could do smicha, and you don't need everyone to do the own smicha. Or v'inami islei, says the Gemara, and even if you want to say that Rabbi Yehuda holds of that halacha, that actually all the partners have to do smicha, still it wouldn't be difficult, as we can see in Tamid Beis, because ayvi kachav mechaveray, regarding that a Jew cannot do smicha on a non-Jew's carbon, and he can't do smicha on his friend's carbon, michad kronafki, he learns that out from one pasuk of karbanai, because both of them are not his carbon. It's the non-Jew's, or it's his friend's, it's not his. Now in contrast, his father's carbon, which is one of the other ones, you did need a separate pasuk, because ultimately it's not his carbon. Why do you need a separate? Why is not also the same as a non-Jew or his friends? Because you would have thought to say that it is called his carbon, since he's the inheritor, and now it's his, he inherited. So therefore, ayatzu lutre. So there's two other pasukim, because from one you learn on both ayvu kechav and chaveira. So chad is karbanim v'le karbanav. The second one you learn out his carbon, and from the extra one now you know that even his father's carbon is still not called his carbon, he doesn't do smicha. V'idach l'rab is called balei carbon l'smicha. And the third one that comes to include, yeah, that all the partners have to do smicha on the carbon. Now the Gemara asks, Rabbi Huda, hai homer yomer my oven. Like, what does he do with what the Rabbanan learned out that the Yerush does tamura from the extra word yomer, where he holds the Yerush does not do tamura. So what does he do with the extra word yomer? So Mibayla, the Rabbi Sisha says you need it to include the woman, that a woman is in the halacha of creating a temura. Because the Tanya Lina Braisa that says, Lafisha Kala Inin, because ultimately the whole topic in the Torah of temura, in the Medaba, Ela B'Lashon Zachar, it says in the masculine. So Masay Feinu, in other words, from where at the end are we going to be Rabbi Sisha to include the woman, that if she does temura in her carbon, that the other animal will have the sanctity of a temura? Tamalayma Bim Hama Yamar. So that's why you learn out from the extra word yomer to say that even the woman is in the halacha of tamur, but not that the halacha of a yairish is in the tamur. Now, for Rabbanan, where they learn out from yomer to include the yairish, how do they know that a woman has the halacha of tamur? They learn out from mivim, from and if, which that's coming to include the woman. But Rabbi Huda, v'im le'darsh, doesn't expound it as an inclusionary word, and therefore, that's why, again, he only learns out from yomer the women, and doesn't have the halacha for the Yerush, because he actually holds the Yerush, learns out from the halacha of smicha, that he doesn't do smicha, and he doesn't do the halacha of tumura. Now, continuing on these other Tanoic texts, regarding what does the word hakol come to include, hakol chayavim besukka lasu yimai, this that it says, that everyone's obligated in the halacha of sukkah, what does that come to include? It comes to include a minor who doesn't need his mother anymore, where he's obligated in the halacha of sukkah. It's not like learn the Mishnah Masechta Sukkah that says, a minor that doesn't need his mother anymore, which the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Chav Chasim basically explains, where if he gets up from his sleep and he doesn't call out mommy, that means he doesn't need his mother anymore. Chayim b'sukkah is obligated in the sukkah. That's what hakol chayim b'sukkah comes to include. Similarly, hakol chayim b'lulav l'asu yimai. What does it mean when it says everyone's obligated in the midst of lulav, which is taking the palm fronds on sukkahs? What's that coming to include? L'asu yikotn on the day l'naneya. That comes to include a minor who knows how to shake the lulav, which has a certain methodology of how it's done. Then he's included, it's not like Mishnah Masech the Sukkah. Kodna Yedele Naneya, the minor who knows how to shake the lulav, Chayy, the lulav is obligated in the lulav, and that's included in Hakol. Hakol Chayyav Mitzitzis Lasu Yimai. What does it mean when it says everyone is obligated in the midst of tzitzis? That what's that coming to include? Lasu Yukotna Yedele Satif, that comes to include a minor who knows how to put on the tzitzis to cloak himself in it. The time like Linda Bryce, which there's a certain, again, method how to go ahead and cloak oneself, called a tifus yishme'elim, the way of putting on the cloak, then you're obligated in the midst of tzitzis. The time like Linda Bryce, Kratna Yidei Lasatav Chayba Tzitzis, a minor who knows how to wrap himself in the tzitzis, in the talis cloak, then is obligated in wearing for the tzitzis on the corners of his garments. Now, Hakol Chayim B'Tfilin Lasu Yimai, what does it mean when it says everyone's obligated in the midst of tefillin? What's that coming to include? So you cut and how you deal with shmet tefillin that comes to include a minor, again, because every adult obviously is obligated. When we're saying everyone, we're coming to include even a minor who knows how to safeguard the tefillin. Where although there's no biblical obligation in the minor, but that's what we're saying in rabbinically in the midst of chinuch, including minors in these halachas, when he knows how to fulfill these mitzvahs, which in tefillin, he knows how to safeguard the sanctity of the tefillin. So Tanlik learned a brisa. Kana yidei lishmer tefillin. A minor knows how to safeguard the tefillin, which is doesn't take it into the bathroom, knows how to do appropriate things. Of lekeich le tefillin, says father has to buy from tefillin. What is included in the Mishnah Masechet Chagiga that says that everyone's obligated in showing himself to Hashem in the Shalosh Regalim and the three pilgrimages? Everyone has to come up to the Beis Hamikdash. What are we coming to include? So it's Lasuya Mishichetzi Eved Vechetzi Mechar. It's coming to include someone that's half slave and half a freed person, which let's say is owned by two owners, and one partner frees him, one partner didn't free him yet. So he's half slave, half freed person. That type of a person is obligated in the midst of Re'iyah, because in contrast, a total slave, although he has halachas on some level like a Jewish person, like a Jewish woman, he's exempt from the mitzvah of Alila Regal, because the Pasuk says you have to come and espineha adin Hashem and see the face of your master, the Hashem. That's only someone who has only Hashem as his master. But a slave who has his owner as a master, therefore he's exempt. But someone that's half slave, half freed person who has an element of Ben Chayrin is obligated and included in the halacha of Akol Chayim Beriya. But the Gemara asks, but Ravina, the Amma, but according to Ravina, that he says, as brought in the first parak of Masechtas Chagiga Daf Dalamid Aleph, that he actually infers from the Sefer of the Mishnah, where it says over there that those that are exempt from the mitzvah of Re'iyah are slaves that are not freed, which includes Misha Chetzi Eved V'Chetzi Ben Chayrin, who is ultimately not freed because he's still halfway a slave, that Ravina says he's Patim in the Re'iyah, he's exempt from the Re'iyah. So that obviously is not being included in halacha when it says hakol chayim b'riyah. So what does he include from that hakol? Lasuya chigur b'yem rishon comes to include someone that was lame on the first day, where a lame person is exempt from doing a li'ala regal, because it says regalim, which means also legs, which exempts someone that is balikav and someone that doesn't have a foot, who can't walk. But when the spashid b'yem sheni, where he got healed on the second day, that hakol has come to say that, okay, therefore then on the second day he's going to be obligated in the halacha of a lila regal. So says the Gemara, hanich l'mandam, that's only good according to the one that says in the first pekem, says chagigit av tesem and aleph, that this that it says over there, that the halacha is that the bringing the oilas ri'iyah and the shalmei chagiga, a person is chagig v'hoilich as kala regal, you could go ahead and bring it, the karbanis, all 7 days of the yamtiv. The reason is because all 7 days of the Yomtiv, kulin tashlum and zelazeh. There's one opinion that says because every day is the completion, could fulfill and supplement for what you missed the day before, which a day two could supplement for day one, day three for day two, and so on and so forth. So what you see is that every day really of Yomtiv is its own distinct obligation, like we see, because every day has its tashlumen, you could supplement it on the following day. So you could say that whoever wasn't appropriate to bring it on the first day because he was lame, which is exempt from the lila regal, but if he's healed on the second day, so then he'd be obligated because every day has its own obligation, which then could be fulfilled if one didn't do it on the day after that. But according to the one that says this, that you could bring the oilas ri'iyah and the shamech hagiga all 7 days, is because it could be completing your only obligation, which is on day one. So then it would come out, someone that's appropriate and obligated on the first day to bring, but just he didn't bring it, so then you could bring it all 7 days. But someone that was not appropriate to bring and it was exempt on day one, so then he never had the obligation, so therefore he's not going to have tashlumen for something which he didn't have obligation for at all, because only supplementing the first one, what are you going to say over there? Lasu yamai. So therefore we're back to the question. According to that opinion, you can't include either chigibi and rishon because he wasn't obligated on day one. And all the other days you could fulfill that obligation on day one, he didn't have that obligation. So we're back to the question, then according to that opinion, what would hakol chayiv b'riyah come to include? It says, the Gemara, lasu yasuma ba'achas me'enav. It would include someone that's blind in one of his two eyes, which, even though he's blind in one eye, he's still obligated in the mitzvah of the oilas ri'iyah, of coming up to the Beis Hamikdash. Udoloike haitana detanya, which would be coming to exclude from the tana the following brisa that holds that if a person is blind in one eye is exempt. This tana is coming to say no, everyone's obligated as long as he has one eye, he's still obligated. Because Yechonim ben Tavoy Eimer Mishmer Behuda, he says, "Suma ba'achas me'ena." But someone's blind in one of his two eyes, patim in the ri'iyah, he's already exempt from the mitzvah ri'iyah. Why? Shnemek says in the pasuk, "Yira yira," where it says in the pasuk, "Shemayis chav gimel yadzayin," says three times in the year. The way it's read, it says, "Yira kol zochurchal penei od Hashem." Every one of your males should show himself, should be visible to the face of the master of Hashem. Now the thing is, the way it's written, if one would just read the words Yud Reish Aleph Hey, you would read it Yira, to see. But the way it's read is Yira, should be seen. Now, so that teaches us as follows. Kiderach, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shebal Liris, when he comes to see you, Kachbal Lirois, that's how he wants to be seen. That's Yira Yira. What do we learn? Mal Lirois, just like to see you, which is Hashem is complete, so to speak, in his two eyes. It's Bishteinu with his two eyes, metaphorically. Afli Rois, so to be seen, that he wants to be seen for you with your two eyes, is Bishteinu with two eyes. So if someone's blind in one eye, he's exempt from the mitzvah. That's this opinion, which the Tana of that Mishnah that says Hakol Chayavin Bereiyah, according to this interpretation, would be saying that no, if a person is only blind in one eye, he would be obligated, not like a regular Summa who's blind in both eyes, only one eye, he'd still be obligated in the mitzvah of Re'iyah. Or if you want, says the Gemara, La'olam, really you could say, to answer the question, like we said before, it's coming to include someone who's half slave and half free man. Not with a kakash left Ravina, but then you said, but what are you going to do with Ravina, who he said, is part of Emriya? How can you say that's being included in Hakol Chayav Emriya? Says Gemara, like kash, that's not a difficulty. Why? Kan, over here, the interpretation of Ravina was b'mishna rishayna, was according to the first version, before Beis Hillel agreed, as we're going to shortly quote, that the halacha was, since he was half slave, he had the chazakah, the presumptive state of being a slave, and therefore Ravina said, he's not a meshucher, he's not totally freed, and therefore he's going to be exempt from the halacha of Oilas Re'iyah. But Kan over here, that in the mission that we're saying that says Hakol Chayav Bereiyah, that we say we're coming to include a Chatzi Ev Chatzi Ben Chayin, that's B'mishna Achrayna. That's the later version, which was after Beis Hillel admitted and agreed to Beis Shammai, which, as we're going to quote right now, since we have the authority right now to force a freedom of a Chatzi Ev Chatzi Ben Chayin, so he's already considered like a freed person, which does not have the domain and dominion of his master on him. And if we don't call him as if he has another master, so even if he's a chetzev and chetzev mecharen, since he could be totally freed, we consider Hashem as his only master, and therefore he's like a regular person, which is pnei adon Hashem, and he would be chayiv in the midst of Riyah. As the Gemara brings it down, like the Mishnah Masechet is Gittin. Mishnah says, Misha chetzev and chetzev mecharen, this type of a person, who's half slave, half freed person, which, again, we had, let's say, had two owners, and one freed him and one didn't. So the halacha is, Evidus Rabbi Yemechad, so now he's 50-50, he's half owned by himself, which is a free person, half owned by another person. So Eved is Rabbi Yemechad, so one day he serves his master. Vesas Yemechad, one day he serves himself, and that's how he alternates. One day his master, one day himself. That's different Beis Hillel. Amr Lem Beis Shammai, so the school of Shammai said to Beis Hillel, well, to Kantemis Rabbi, you made it good, you fixed it for his master, where the master maintains his 50% ownership. But Vesas Moli Tikantem, but you didn't make it good for the person himself. Why? Because he's stuck. Lisa Shevchene Yachli can't marry a maidservant, because he's half free, and a free person can't marry a maidservant. But neither could he marry a freed woman, a regular Jewish woman, because he's half slave, and a slave can't marry a Jewish woman. So Yevatel, so he'll just be nullified, he'll just be abolished in his ability to marry someone. But the whole world was created only to be fruitful and multiply. Shalom, like it says the pasuk in Yeshaya. It says, Lo yisayu v'ra. Hashem did not create the world for it to be desolate. L'shevus yitzar, he formed it for it to be settled. And you see, therefore, the purpose is to be fruitful and multiply, have children, and he can't get married. Ella rather says, Bishamim, they take an oil because of the rectification of the world. Kaifin is rabbi. We force his master, and he has to go ahead and make him into a free person. And then he writes a document of debt for half his value, which, because really he owned it, he didn't want to free him, but we have to so that he could get married. So then the slave owes the other half of his value to his master. And therefore he's considered like a free person. And because of Beis Hillel, and subsequently Beis Hillel went and retracted and ruled like Beis Shammai, so like we're saying, we could force him to be free. And therefore, even if he's chetzev v'chetz mecharen, we consider him like a ben chayren. He only has one master, which is Hashem. He's not really totally owned by that other master. And therefore, that's what saying is included in Hakol Chayav Bereiyah, even according to Ravina, because Ravina was going Mishnah Rishayin before Beis Hillel retracted. But subsequently, the word Hakol Chayav Bereiyah would include chetzev v'chetz mecharen. Now the Gemara continues similarly, a Mishnah Masechtas Rosh Hashanah that says Hakol Chayav Metkiy Shofar. Everyone's obligated in the mitzvah of the blowing of the shofar, lasu yimai. What's that coming to include? Says, comes to include a minor who has reached the age of chinuch, of being trained in the laws of the mitzvahs, which Rashi brings as a machlekes in the last parak of Masechtas Yomim of Pebezim and Aleph. If that, some say that's like 8 or 9, and some say it's like 9 or 10, again, depending on the intelligence of the child, which is, that's when you start training him, let's say on Yom Kippur for to fast a certain amount of hours. So too, such a child who reached the age of chinuch would be obligated in the midst of tekiyah shofar. There's not like a Mishnah Masechtas Rosh Hashanah that says, we don't hold back a minor from blowing the shofar yamtiv. With halacha there continues, this is actually we're misasking him. We actually encourage him to go ahead and blow. If he's the age of chinuch, we want him to hear the blowing of the shofar and to blow the shofar for himself. Where that's the halacha that's included in hakol chayim tekiyah shofar. Continues the Gemara, Hakol Chayim Mikra Megillah. This everyone's obligated in the mitzvah of the reading of the Megillah on Purim. And similarly, Hakol Kashem Likas Megillah, the Mishnah Masechta Megillah, that says everyone is valid to read the Megillah. Lasuya, as we continue to talk about Gemara Alf, my, what's that coming to include? It says the Gemara, that's Lasuya Nashim. That comes to include women, that they're obligated in the reading of the Megillah, and they're also kosher to read it, and they could even fulfill the obligation for a male. Okay, Rishu ben Levi, because the Amr Rishu ben Levi says Nashim Chayavis b'Mikra Megillah. Women are obligated in the reading of the Megillah on Purim. Sha'af Hein Hoi Ba'isanes, because they were also part of that miracle where they were also saved. They're actually instrumental, which is actually Esther Malka. So therefore, they also have the mitzvah Mikra Megillah. That's what's included in Hakol Chayavin b'Mikra Megillah and Hakol Kasherin Likras as a Megillah.